This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Welcome to Place to Be Nation's comprehensive look at the news and happenings throughout today's wrestling universe. Hosts JT Rosero, Steve Willey, and Nate Milton are joined by insiders and guests to take you around the wrestling world on PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. Take it away, boys. It's Lariat time.
And
they want to see
me pick back up. And it's the X-Trace. We all are fine. Now I got it like that. Tuck my napkin in.
Place to Be Nation proudly presents Clotheslines and Headlines, your one-stop shop for the latest news, opinions, and just straight-up commentary when it comes to the world of professional wrestling. This is episode 23, the Michael Jordan episode, so this might be the greatest edition of Clotheslines and Headlines of all time. We will have to wait and see. But what we will not wait on is introducing our panel this week. Of course, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, one of your regulars here at Clotheslines and Headlines. And I am joined this week not by JR, not by Steve Willey, not even by Glenn Butler. This week, it is again my honor and privilege to introduce a friend of the program, a member of the big, large, voluptuous, I guess you could say, Place to Be Nation family. You know him, you love him. Give it up for John Arsenio D'Amato. Brother D'Amato, how are we doing this week?
Awesome, sir. And, I guess even on a rare occasion, I'm sure the Godfather had nights where pimping wasn't exactly easy. And they made last call at the bar or the club. And, the pickings were kind of slim. And Brother Nate didn't feel like going home alone. So we had to ease on over to the bar. And the only two that were sitting there was maybe one that was missing a tooth and a girl with a cowboy hat and a cross-eyed kind of looking like a female HBK. And I'm sure Brother Nate had to look around, make sure none of his friends or anybody he knew was watching. And he had to make his move and say, hey, honey, well, we going to do this or what? And that's pretty much where we at. And that's why I'm here, brother. So,
in life, you gotta make the best of what life gives you, brother. And this week, you know, it's just the two of us. So I figure, you know,
we can make it if we try.
I think we'll do our best Stone Cold and Triple H impression. And we can be our own little two-man power trip here on Clotheslines and Headlines this week.
I'll try not to recreate that Russell Westbrook, Stephen Adams press conference there, because I'm going to have to be Stephen, but I'll try to add a little more than him.
Sounds good, brother. Well, I think where we'll start this week, normally we'd have our headlines here, but I don't even want to talk about any news this week. I want to get right into what's been on my mind, what's been, I don't want to say bugging me, John, because I don't want to get negative so early, but what I've been thinking about most this week, and that is the WWE. And the last time we had an edition of Clotheslines and Headlines, it was right after the Superstar Shakeup. And so I guess we can start there because it's 2 weeks later. We kind of seen how these rosters have kind of settled down. And I'm wondering, John, what's been your first impression of the way these two shows have looked following the Superstar Shakeup?
Well, my first impression is that there's a definite hangover after WrestleMania and how the company now – more than it has, like even the past few years, it's really all about the big four, the big four pay-per-views, you know, Rumble, Slam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania. And anything in between is going to be a lot of experimentation and, pushing somebody that maybe wouldn't get a title shot and a lot of I'm sure you brought it up on the Kings of Sports, kind of like when the superstars take their little resting time. That's what these kind of B shows are. It's kind of rest period. So that's what it looks like. So and the pay per view after WrestleMania is always is kind of like WrestleMania 2.5, where we always get the rematches. So we got like three of the rematches, and out of those, nobody's really clamoring for a couple of them, so nope. It's kind of a blah period.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm gonna try to be positive too, but it's hard. I'm feeling the malaise too.
It's kind of funny because you talk about that pay-per-view, the first pay-per-view fought on WrestleMania, and we'll get into our Payback preview a little bit later. But yeah, I'm not excited for Payback. I really have not been all that excited by Raw in particular, and that's kind of surprising to me, John, because you'd figure after WrestleMania, we've got Finn Balor back on Raw. We've got Samoa Joe on Raw. We've got Seth Rollins on Raw. You know, The Miz comes over to Raw. So you would think that, like, this roster is not short on talent, but for whatever reason, the storylines in particular have just kind of left me cold. And you look back to this past Monday, like, outside of that big Braun Strowman segment, was there anything worth remembering from Raw this past week?
Not really. And plus, we want to see, like, new matchups. So what did they do when they brought The Miz and Ambrose over? We've already seen them battle over the IC title. And now it looks like that's going to be – they're going to put them together for the first feud. We've already seen that. So we want to see something fresh.
Yeah, I've been very disappointed with Raw. Like, even the women's division. Like, you would think a division that has Nia Jax in it, like, you could just put Nia out there for 5 minutes and I'd be happy with the segment. But I don't know if it's the Sasha Bailey story that you know, I think everybody is waiting for and they're kind of dragging their feet along, or the introduction to Alexa Bliss to the division, which I love Alexa Bliss, but for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like the division is clicking with these girls now, as opposed to on SmackDown, where we saw, you know, Naomi and Charlotte, and we saw kind of the resistance to Charlotte coming over to SmackDown. It feels like they've got their act together when it comes to telling the more compelling story.
Definitely. So right now, Sasha and Bayley are as cold as ice. And like you said, it's going to take – we all know what's going to happen, but maybe they need to rush it, but they got to get that Sasha turn because them two are ice cold right now, and Alexa's blowing them away as far as the promos. But unfortunately, in the ring, she's still a little limited. So, but definitely like in the promos, she's putting those two to shame.
Yeah, and then I don't know. Like, I don't want to be too negative, but I guess we will be, because going back to this past week's Raw, like, there were so many things that I thought didn't need to be on the show. Like, or if they needed to be on the show, they could have been done in a more effective way. Like the cruiserweight division, outside of Neville and Aries, is there anything in the cruiserweight division that's sparking interest? You know, I think not having
the
Roman,
the Noam Dar, Alicia Fox triangle. I don't know. I think that's run its course too, unfortunately.
I believe so. And it's crazy because I think this show misses Roman Reigns. And I know that, like, a lot of our listeners are not big fans of Roman, but you can see kind of the lack of energy the shows have when Roman has not been a part of them.
Right, I agree.
Go ahead.
No, like I said, with the transition, still Jericho is a big part, but you just get that feeling, as entertaining as it is, you know, like, his time is up.
Well, the thing with Jericho, John, is, like, I think had Kevin Owens stayed on Raw, this thing could have still had some juice heading into Payback. But because we moved Owens over to SmackDown, Jericho's kind of building a program by himself, which is not really working for me right now.
And also, at this point in Jericho's career, in the ring, at best he's going to give you a 2-star match. His entertainment is going to be outside the ring and promos. But once you get to the match itself, he's definitely on the downside. So that's a drawback too. There's not going to be much coming from him in the ring. So.
And I'm glad you mentioned the 2-star match, because you know I like when my teammates set me up, you know, for that open shot, because let's go to SmackDown real quick and talk about the upcoming World Championship match featuring Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal.
Okay, help me out, Brother Nate. When's the it's the May Backlash, is it? On May,
see,
what?
Yeah, see, I don't know if they're going to hold it off. Like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to hold it off till May, because I don't think this thing has the legs. And I mean, God bless Jinder for taking the most and making the most out of this opportunity. But at the end of the day, this feud has to lead to a match, and the match is Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. And I think Randy Orton is a solid worker, but he, to me, John, he's always been a guy that works up or down to the level of his competition. And so I don't think we're going to get a great title match out of Jinder and Randy, no matter how many smoke and mirrors you put around it.
No, this was this is what I was alluding to during the intro, as far as the B show's experimentation. And I think they will stretch it out to the Backlash pay-per-view. They did the angle where Jinder stole the belt, which is not the most original angle in the world. But what are you going to do? They got to stretch things out. And like I alluded to, this is, you know, your chance to experiment with on the B shows. And, you know, everybody wants to see somebody different get pushed. But everybody's like, oh, no, we don't want that different. We don't want Jinder different. But that's what we're getting. And maybe he'll surprise us. So I'm, you know, trying to keep a positive attitude. They're rewarding him for him building up his body. And he's been very outspoken on social media, saying that, you know, I built my body the correct way. So hopefully he doesn't turn into the Indian Rafael Palmeiro. saying I did not do steroids, period, and then he winds up getting popped. But you know, hopefully it has a happy ending for him.
And I like what you said, you know, about guys kind of getting opportunities and shaking things up here in this kind of low period after WrestleMania. I just think when we go back to SmackDown a couple weeks ago, and you had that match for the U.S. title, the number one contender match for the U.S. title, and you've got all these top stars in that match. And then the next week you have the number one contender match for the world title. And we got guys like Jinder Mahal and who else was in that match?
I think Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn yeah. might've been the biggest name in that match.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know. Like I am optimistic more so with SmackDown than Raw because more times than not, they've seemed to have a better hold on their storylines lately. But I don't know. Like, I like Jinder. I like teaming him up with the Bollywood boys. I like this aggression that we're seeing from him. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it has the legs to remain compelling through Backlash.
Yeah, I thought there's going to be a 2 or 3 match series between them two. It'll probably just be a one and done. But we'll see. There's some good things coming out of SmackDown. There's a big angle with Baron Corbin and Sami Zayn that was set up last night. So that's because, like we said, there's a long time for their next pay-per-view. So they're taking their time and they're building these feuds properly and they're spreading it out. Like they're not rushing Nakamura into a big-time match. They're going to have him do a little dance with Ziggler, and I'm sure he'll punk him out at the next pay-per-view. They're building to some type of bigger opponent around the SummerSlam time. So they're taking their time. And for the most part, they're on point. They're hitting on the most part, except for the tag team division, which is a little lacking.
I think that, you know, the tag division probably gets a boost in a few weeks when New Day comes back. I think Usos, New Day, to me, that's a feud you can kind of go to when Kofi's healed up, and it'll probably be good, at least in the ring.
Yeah, but for now they're kind of just spinning their wheels with the little Breezango action. it'll be good for some entertainment, but yeah.
If you're not a fan of Prince Pretty?
they're entertaining outside the ring, but you know,
I'm wondering what happened to American Alpha, though, because to me they're the ones that really should have taken advantage of all these, you know, new faces being brought into the show. And for whatever reason, American Alpha just feels like they've lost a step or two since the shakeup.
Yeah, definitely. That's one strike against SmackDown. I mean, we praise SmackDown so much, but that's one big demerit that for some reason Alpha came up and, you know, they gave him the belts and everything, but for some reason they have fizzled, man. So I don't know if it's a heel turn or a Raw turn, but they need something to get back going because coming out of NXT they were on fire and now they're cold right now. So.
Well, let's go from somebody who's cold. Let's go from somebody who's fizzling to somebody who is sizzling over back on Brother John, and that is one Braun Strowman. Like. We've been talking about it for months that this guy has been one of the best booked things on Raw. And now we've seen, you know, two big angles, one by taking out Roman Reigns. And then this past week, taking out Kalisto after a dumpster match. What have you made of Braun Strowman's progression here over the past few months?
They built the monster perfectly. And against everybody but Roman Reigns, they built the monster heel perfectly. It's just going to be interesting when it gets back against Roman. He's going to be cheered probably against Roman, but he'd be booed against everything. He's the perfect heel. The way he was destroying jobbers backstage, and the way he put Kalisto in the trash, the perfect monster heel. But I just hope that because he might get cheered so much against Roman that they don't like mess it up by turning him face, or we'll see that they just hopefully they'll keep continuing with this monster heel push.
Well, see, this like I think there's one question that you just brought up, which is can they keep him as a heel? And I think, we've seen some of these reactions lately where he's been getting cheered, and especially at Payback when you get to some of these more intense cities, when you get to your Chicago's, when you get to your New York's, when you get to these hardcore towns, there's no way Roman Reigns is going to get the cheers. But I think the second question is, what is going to be there for him when we get through with this Roman feud? Because you would think, John, that Roman's the guy that the company is invested in. And as much as they've done with Braun here lately, it feels kind of like back in the 80s when they would build up a big monster for Hogan and Hogan would eventually take him out. Now, where do you go with this monster that's been beaten?
Well, we're definitely going to see a Braun-Brock match down the line, whether that will be at SummerSlam or maybe one of the pay-per-views before. But like, what would you think? You think we're going to see Braun-Brock at SummerSlam and Roman and somebody else, or we'll see another Braun-Roman at SummerSlam and Brock and somebody else? Where do you think they're going to go with that?
Honestly, I think the fact that they haven't pulled the trigger on the Roman Reigns heel turn has kind of made everything else kind of murky, because I think there's ways you can go with, I guess if you want to do a babyface Strowman, you could have him against Roman. You could have him against Brock, if we're calling Brock a heel. You could have Braun against Samoa Joe. I'd like to see, maybe a Braun and Miz feud. I think that could be entertaining. But if we're going to keep Roman as a babyface, quote unquote, so we've got to keep Braun heel, I don't know where he goes after that, because you're going to, I think Roman is going to beat Braun. And so who's your other babyfaces on the roster? Jericho's going to be gone, because I think he's going to be off touring, making wonderful rock music. Who's the babyface that you're going to have? Is it going to be Dean Ambrose and Braun Strowman? Because I'm not hot on that.
Maybe Finn Balor after he gets through with Bray Wyatt.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. I think they've got to be careful, though, because Braun's been booked really, really strong. But I think his in-ring work, while it's improving, it's still not, main event level yet. But I think, he's getting main event reactions from the audience. So he might be getting pushed a little bit beyond his in-ring work, so they've got to be careful who they pair him up with. So I think maybe putting him in there with a guy like Balor or even a guy like a Seth Rollins could be a good next feud.
Right. When you get like a big monster against a smaller opponent, that's a slippery slope, because when the smaller babyface gets offense, there's only a few big men that could pull that off, that could make that look good.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting right there. Like we've seen him with like a Show and Reigns, guys his size, we've seen him work well. But with guys smaller, sometimes when that monster has to take a show a little vulnerability, and that doesn't always come off as well. So it's going to be interesting to see it when he's paired with a smaller opponent.
Yeah, I mean, I to his credit though, like I kind of like what they did this past week, other than the match itself, because I thought the match, no pun intended, John, was trash. I did like kind of the pairing with Kalisto and Braun. Like Kalisto, that might have been the most interesting Kalisto's been in months.
Yeah, he came out with some new music and
had his new outfit.
Yeah, so they're giving it a go with Kalisto. We'll see.
It's a new lucha thing.
Yeah.
But we mentioned it a couple times here this week, folks. So let's go ahead and get into our preview of our next big WWE special event. And that is Payback, taking place this Sunday from the SAP Center in San Jose, California. And I think we've got two questions that we need to answer right off the bat, John. Okay. Number one, are you excited for Payback? And number two, did you know Papa Roach made a comeback?
that's going to have to be two no's.
I had no idea Papa Roach was back.
But then again, there's been so many times in the past where I have not been excited, and a B-show has delivered. So usually it's a good sign when there's lower expectations. They come through. So,
I mean, if you look on paper, like we're going to go through the matches here, but if you look on paper, we should have some good in-ring action at least. It's just the build-up to these matches really hasn't been the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, and all the confusion with the shake and bake has kind of messed things up. And this House of Horrors match, boy. I mean, we'll get to that. Allegedly, it's going to be pre-taped. So
yeah, we'll get there. But I think had they decided to wait until after Payback to do the shake up, things might have made a little bit more sense. But I think they were ready to kind of get to the next chapter, even though they hadn't finished the chapter before. So we kind of got stuck with matches like Jericho Owens, which is a feud without a home, and the same thing with Bray and Randy. But let's start with the first match, and I guess this might be a pre-show match. Tag match, Enzo and Cass taking on Gallows and Anderson. I don't even need to ask you, are you interested in this, John? Because I'm not interested at all, but I think who do you think goes over? Because I think you could make the argument that Enzo and Cass should win, but I could easily see the club taking this one.
Well, usually the rule is the faces go over on the pre-show. But man, you know, everybody's been calling for Enzo and Cass to break up, but I don't see it yet. I still think they got some legs. I mean, the past couple shows I do a survey of the merch, and Enzo and Cass, they still got a lot of fans out there. There's still a bunch of corny white guys with the stupid Enzo wigs walking around. I know. I hate to say it because, especially in our group in the nation, people are over the Enzo and Cass, and they want to see them broken up.
I think that's a good point, though, because like if you look at the hardcore fans, Enzo and Cass is kind of past their sale date, but they're still getting pretty good reactions from the casual fans. Like if they go to these towns, you know, in the middle of the country or down south that aren't your big hotbeds, Enzo and Cass are still getting a pretty good reaction. So I could easily see them keeping them together for a while.
Yeah, those catchphrases are built in where, you know, people aren't going to be sick of them for still a while. So I don't see the breakup anytime soon. I still think they have some legs. And, I think they'll go over here, over the Bullet Club.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I'll go with Enzo and Cass as well. And the other reason real quick, I don't think they're going to break them up is because as good a talker as Enzo is, I don't know what they do with him if they break up this team because he's spoiler alert, folks, he's not the greatest in-ring technician.
No, you can see it on Raw. They had a thing where he had to get like injured and Cass had to team up with two other guys. Man.
Maybe that'll be his new gimmick. He starts fights with his promos, but then gets taken out and somebody else has to wrestle for him.
Yeah, they didn't do him any favors when they had that angle with the Rusev and Lana, where he's supposed to be the face, horning over, setting up a rendezvous with a guy's wife, and then he gets his ass kicked. And what are you supposed to feel sorry for him? Come on, man. You know.
And you can't teach that.
Yeah, that's horrible, man.
Let's go to something that's not horrible. At least the match won't be horrible. And that is our match for the United States Championship featuring Kevin Owens, the new face of America, versus Chris Jericho. And if Jericho wins, he will be transferred to SmackDown. So we talked earlier about Chris Jericho, you know, kind of being towards the latter part of his career and probably getting ready to head off on another tour with Fozzy. So do you see any way Jericho wins the belt?
No, if there's such thing as a guarantee in sports entertainment, this has to be it. I mean, there's no way, though, especially the way SmackDown is building up Owens as a U.S. champion. Maybe a DQ or a count that win, but I don't see that. I just see Owens definitely getting a definitive win here.
Yeah, especially since we've already set up Owens and AJ Styles, which I think is going to be a hell of a feud. Like, I don't think there's any reason to mess that up by putting the belts on Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting, though, because I think, going back to what we were talking about earlier with SmackDown, given that Owens is your champ and AJ is your number one contender, the U.S. feud is going to be more interesting than the World Championship match.
Definitely, without a doubt. And also, are we seeing, I mean, even though he is technically, he's the most popular wrestler on SmackDown, just switching gears a little bit, do you see a definitive AJ face turn, or do you think they're just going to go with him the way they're going, and he's going to get, acting as a heel, but who gets cheered anyway?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to continue to play this gray area for a while, because he's not 100% babyface, but between the crowd reaction and him kind of being the guy that was sticking up for SmackDown right before the shakeup, I think he's kind of like The Rock when SmackDown first debuted, and The Rock was, SmackDown's The Rock show, and he was a good guy with an edge, and I think that's kind of where we'll see AJ, particularly going up against Owens, who is such a great heel. But yeah, we're not talking about that great match. We're talking about these okay matches here on Payback.
Oh boy.
And our next match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships, we've got the Unbroken Hardys, Matt and Jeff, taking on Sheamus and Cesaro. Sheamus and Cesaro have kind of come up on the short end of the stick in this feud so far. Do you see a title change, or do you see the unbroken brilliance of the Hardy Boys continuing on, Brother John?
I see the Hardys retaining, but I am going to hedge a little, because on Monday, like, Sheamus and Cesaro were acting all friendly and stuff, like, oh, this is going to be a gentleman's match, shaking hands and stuff. So I am hedging a little that maybe Sheamus and Cesaro go buck wild a little and heal out. And maybe steal it this more, but otherwise, if I had to bet, I'd go with the Hardys.
Yeah, I think it's too early to take the belts off the Hardys. Uh-huh. But I do think, though, you talk about Enzo and Cass kind of getting stale. I hate to say this because I love these guys so much, but I think this kind of WWE version of the Hardys is growing stale, and I guess there were some articles online, some rumors and allegations, if you will, that they're going to try to work towards the broken gimmick, or as close to the broken gimmick as they can get. And I think they need to, man, because as good as it is to see Matt and Jeff back, and props to Matt, because it looks like he's gotten himself into pretty good shape. But this, these guys coming out with the raver pants and the old music, it's got a shelf life, John.
Yeah, and plus there's more money for singles. The WWE, they don't treat the tag teams the same way.
Nope.
The cash is the singles action. So definitely a Jeff singles run is where the money's at.
Oh yeah, you talk about big money. You talk about what puts butts in the seats. How about a House of Horrors match, John? Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt. House of Horrors match. Now, the title is not on the line in this one, contrary to what we were being told leading up to the match. The title is not on the line, so this is just going to be a match for match's sake. A, do you think it'll be better than their WrestleMania match? And B, who wins?
All right. A, it'll be slightly better than the WrestleMania match, which is not saying much. And B, I think Bray Wyatt is gonna win. And getting back to what we were saying before, it looks like even though the first time they tried it, it was meh with the New Day. What was that match?
That was pre-taped.
Yeah, it looks like from the rumor mill says it's going to be a pre-taped deal. We'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But you know, I don't know if that makes me more excited or less excited for it. But I think Bray will go be enough, not for the title, to kind of build Bray strong going in against his next feud versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, and it would just make Bray look stupid if he lost. Like, he came up with this match. Like, it's his match. It'd be like The Undertaker.
Yeah, plus this is
Hell in a Cell and losing.
On a Raw pay-per-view to have a SmackDown guy win, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you're already going to have Owens beat Jericho in the U.S. match. So, yeah, I don't see both SmackDown guys going over. And Randy can afford to lose. But, yeah, I don't expect this to be a really good match.
And also, I expect Bray to show up on the Miz TV show with Finn Balor. Maybe I expect Bray to show up there to surprise Balor. So we'll probably get a double dose of Bray.
Oh boy! Sign me.
Yeah.
But our next match might be my pick to steal the show, Brother D'Amato, and that is our match for the Cruiserweight Championship with your champion, the King of the Cruiserweights, Neville, going up against Austin Aries. Does A-Double pull off the, I guess you could call it an upset, does he pull off the upset and walk out as the new champ, or does Neville retain?
I think Double A is going to take it. Even though Neville is white hot right now, but so is Double A. I think they need the little boost in that division, and they got to put the belt on Double A.
Well, and the thing is, these two guys, like you mentioned, are the biggest thing in the division. So I don't think, regardless of who wins, I don't think this is over. And so it just makes sense to me then to have Aries get the big win, and now we've got Neville chasing. And so I think this feud is going to continue for a while. They're the best division, and it'll be good to see Aries with the title.
Yeah, the more the merrier with these guys. We could have a rubber match, and nobody could complain about that. Because right now these two guys are way ahead of everybody else, except for the feud with Rich Swann and Noam Dar, of course, and Alicia Fox.
I mean, I wonder why she doesn't have a spot on this card. We got three more matches here. We've got a singles match, a grudge match, if you will, featuring Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe fighting for the honor of the McMahon-Helmsleys, if you will. So does Seth continue his role after his big win at WrestleMania, or does Joe get some payback?
This is a tough one, but I think they're going to continue some momentum with Seth Rollins, and he's going to go over here and give Joe his first loss, and maybe not by pin, maybe a DQ or a countout, but I think we got to give Seth some momentum. Although Joe's been built pretty strong since coming up, I don't think he's lost a match yet, so.
I can see them going either way with this. Like you said, it is kind of tough to call. You don't want to stunt Rollins as he's got this role now. But this is another feud that I think has legs, no pun intended, given Seth's injury. I think that Joe wins in a shady fashion, and the feud continues. That's my prediction.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Because again, this is another match, kind of like Aries and Neville. Like I wouldn't care if they did this match once a month for the next couple months.
Yeah, that's good. I love it when it's like that. Cause it's good to be surprised, man. And I love it when you don't know when the results aren't so obvious. So
well, let's go to our next match, which the results may or may not be obvious, given that the champion is defending the belt in her hometown. So going by WWE rules, she should lose. But it's our Raw Women's Championship match with Bayley defending against Alexa Bliss. Does Bliss get the win here, or does Bayley shockingly retain in her hometown in front of her daddy?
Alexa's on fire right now, but it's not I don't think it's her time yet. Eventually, we got to get on to the Bayley and Sasha deal, and yeah, I think Bayley will get the win at home, the hometown advantage.
Yeah, Bayley should win, and it's been her championship run has been kind of lukewarm with me. Like, I like Bayley. I think the character is something that you can really connect with, especially with your young girls that are fans of the product. But for whatever reason, and maybe it's because they've been dragging their feet on the Sasha thing, it really hadn't clicked for me. And so I think Bayley retains, but I wish, and I don't know if they would do this, but I wish this were where Sasha came in and cost Bayley the title in her hometown. You know, it doesn't make any sense because there's no advantage for Sasha. But I want to see something happen here, John. And unfortunately, I don't think anything major is going to happen. Bayley retains, and we keep this drama with Sasha going for, you know, a few more weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, Bayley is missing something with as far as connecting with the crowd. It's not like, you know, she had that relationship with the Full Sail crowd where she had them in the palm of her hands at the NXT. And so far, it's been rough going, especially – kind of like I was at the Raw at here in Long Island, and on the East Coast, there's not much East Coast love for Bayley. I guess they're bringing back the East Coast, West Coast beef from the 90s, but she's definitely having problems connecting with the crowd. So she's got to work on the promos and get it back up to main event level. But I think she retains here, though.
Yeah, I agree. And that brings us to our final match of the night. I don't know if this is going to be the main event. It probably won't be, but it's my main event, and it's a surprise to say, because if you'd asked me a year ago, would I be hyped for a pay-per-view match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, I would ask you, were you crazy? But this might be the match I'm looking the most forward to, John.
Yeah, so it's going to go on last, don't you think?
I would think. You know, even though we've got a couple title matches here on the card, I don't think that those titles supersede this interest, particularly if you looked at Raw this past week. Braun Strowman was the star of the show, and you heard the crowd, you know, they were going back and forth, we want Roman, Roman sucks. So Roman Reigns, even not being on the show, is still one of your biggest points of interest. So I could see this going last, and I think Roman is going to win, although it would not shock me if Braun won and they could use the excuse that Roman's still banged up.
Yeah, I'm going to think Roman's going to squeak it out here, and once again, that'll only be round two of, and we'll probably see these guys hook up again down the road. But I was going to ask, is it definitely an ambulance match, or I'm not too sure. Have they advertised it as an ambulance match, or is it just a regular match?
I thought it was going to be an ambulance match, but as of right now, according to Wikipedia, which, you know, take that with a grain of salt, it's just a singles match.
It said, you know, as hardcore as we are, and even we're confused. So, you know, that shows how good a job they are of getting the skips over. But oh, good. Yeah.
It should be, like, they should combine all of Braun's matches over the past few weeks. It should be like a dumpster match, but then you gotta tip the dumpster onto the ambulance, and then you gotta close the ambulance door.
You have to drive the ambulance into a dumpster.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Oh, so that is a Payback, again, taking place this Sunday from San Jose, California. And again, even though I'm not excited for this in terms of the build that they've given us to get here, John, I do think it'll be a better show than people expect.
Yeah, and Braun Strowman is on fire now, so anything he is in is gonna bring a lot of attention, and it's gonna deliver. So
you say he's dumpster fire?
Yeah.
I promise. That's the last dumpster joke this week, folks. I promise.
Nah, I got one more. Hopefully Duke the Dumpster Drozy doesn't interfere.
Why wasn't he in Raw on Monday?
Maybe he's going to make a surprise appearance.
That's what this whole thing's been building up to. Duke the Dumpster Drosy Ryan.
Throwback.
Well, that is a throwback for Payback. And again, we'll have more thoughts on the WWE and this kind of post-WrestleMania, post-shakeup climate that the company's going through in the weeks to come. But coming up next, it's been a while since we've talked Impact Wrestling. And so since JR and Steve are not here, and I've got my hands on the controls, we're talking Impact next, John.
No problem. No problem. I'm with it.
So don't you listeners and guys and girls, don't you guys go anywhere. Because we got more Place to Be Nation, clotheslines, and headlines right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give it to
me. We are back on Clotheslines and Headlines here at the Place to Be Nation Worldwide Headquarters. This is episode number 23 of Clotheslines and Headlines. Earlier I said it was the Michael Jordan edition. I guess we could continue the analogies here with sports and the correlations. And this could be the LeBron James edition as well. But that's neither here nor there. Of course, you got the Godfather and J. Arsenio D'Amato holding things down this week. And before we get into the wild world of Impact Wrestling, I think we need to kind of let the people know what other offerings we have going on here at the Place to Be Nation, Brother John. And one in particular, Letters from Center Stage.
Yes, they're picking up right where Letters from Kayfabe left off. Alan, a fine chap from the UK, and the Godfather, the other Godfather, Mr. JT, are picking up right from Letters from Kayfabe. They're focusing on late 80s, early 90s WCW. Some Center Stage, some interesting, they read letters and some interesting stuff from the edge of the cheese platter. Like Alan would say, and that drops every Friday, man. So check it out.
Very cool. Yes, if you are a fan of classic, I guess would be the word, World Championship Wrestling, that is that's right up your alley. But speaking of classic World Championship Wrestling, we might have a few recognizable faces showing up on Impact Wrestling here in the near future. But before we get to that, though, John, I have to address the people because, you know, people say that all men are created equal. But if you look at me and if you look at somebody else, you'll see that statement isn't true. Because normally if you go one-on-one with somebody else, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, John, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% chance at best to defeat me.
Are you talking about Congo Kong?
That was my homage to the greatest mathematician in the history of pro wrestling, and that is Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Yes.
One of his most classic TNA promos. But yeah, there's been a lot of shakeups. You know, we talked about shakeups in the WWE in our earlier segment, John, but TNA, or should I say Impact Wrestling, no longer TNA, Impact Wrestling has seen its fair share of comings and goings the past few weeks and months, and Scott Steiner showed up at the latest round of tapings in Orlando. I don't want to get too spoiler heavy, but what did you make when you first heard that, John?
Well, this is he was brought in by the number one TNA's number one heel now, which is Josh Matthews, which if you haven't been watching is quite a development. And I mean, he's still in good shape. It's going to be interesting to see how he holds up. But he attacked Big Joe Parks, who I haven't seen in a while on TNA. So it's they're all over the place right now. They're just throwing stuff and seeing what sticks.
They are for those that haven't been keeping up with Impact since the Hardys left, because I think that when the Hardys left, that was kind of the jumping off point for a lot of people. But for those that haven't been keeping up with Impact, basically we've seen for the past few weeks and months this campaign of making Impact great again. And we've seen Bruce Pritchard come into the company. We've seen Dutch Mantel come into the company. We've seen Karen Jarrett return as an on-screen character. And they've been really hit or miss. Like, I think the Dutch Mantel segments have been good. The Bruce Pritchard stuff has kind of been hit or miss. And no offense to Karen Jarrett, because I think she can be a really good character. But I don't like her in this role. Like, if you're going to go through the trouble of, you know, Karen Jarrett's running things around here, why not just bring back Jeff and make Jeff the on-screen as well as behind-the-scenes, you know, boss of this company?
Right. And also, I think we're past the stage where we want to see, like Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash, whatever kind of stipulation match show that they're leading up to. I think we're past that stage where you want to see, like, announcers and with general manager or whatever throwing down. I don't think that's going to get the eyeballs back on the screen there.
No, like, and that can be a minor feud. Like, that can be something, you know, your C or D story, but it can't be your A story week after week.
Right. That was the big moment, for those that haven't seen it this past week, was Jeremy Borash punched out Josh Matthews. And that was the big main event, the
thing. That closed your show.
Yeah, that closed, yeah. So,
I like Jeremy Borash on commentary. And I do think, as many complaints as I've had with Josh Matthews as a commentator, I do think, like, he could probably make a really cool heel manager. But he shouldn't be the number one heel in your promotion.
Right. Unfortunately, it looks like they're building up to some kind of a match or something with those two, which I don't know if that's going to get people excited as they got excited for Final Deletion.
Well, let's talk about maybe some other names in the company that have debuted lately. You mentioned Congo Kong. We've seen a lot of crossover from GFW, from Global Force Wrestling, you know, people like Sanjay Dutt, people like Reno Scum. I don't know why I called him Vegas Scum. Reno Scum. Magnus is in the company now. So we've seen a kind of refreshing of the talent roster. We've seen Chris Masters. Now he's Chris Adonis. Crimson's Low-key. Back. Low-key's back. Yeah. Matt Morgan is back. LAX. Who might be, out of all the returns, LAX might have been the one I was most interested in. LAX is back. So with all of these kind of new/old faces back in the company, do you think that Impact has a plan here, John? Or are they just, like you said earlier, just throwing everything at the wall to see if something sticks and connects with the audience?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I don't see a plan. Although it's good to see some of those faces. It's good to see Low-key and James Storm. It's good to see. But it's not good to see Congo Kong's D cups. I don't know where we're going with that. That's a rough watch right there. That's a rough visual.
Like, it's a weird mix because you've got like a lot of young people that I had no idea who these performers were. But then you've also got, you know, people like Chris Masters and Alberto Del Rio and Low-key, who is your new X Division champion. That I'm very familiar with. And so I don't know, TNA is a company, or Impact Wrestling is a company, that has always had good quality in-ring performers. The problem hasn't been the workers. The problem has been creating interesting storylines. And unfortunately, right now, I don't see a storyline that, if you're not already watching this show week to week, it's not going to entice you to come in and tune in to Pop TV, if you even get Pop TV every week.
And also, a few years ago, one of the stalwarts of the TNA show was the women's division, like Gail Kim and Awesome Kong. And so where are they going with that right now? They brought ODB back, and who else did I have to carry the women's division? Because they were really a force back a few years ago, like I said, with Gail Kim. But where are they going with that now?
Right now, you know, Rosemary, who's a great character. And she's pretty good in the ring. Rosemary's kind of the one holding down the Knockouts division. But, yeah, ODB's back. I wonder if now that the Hardys are gone, if Awesome Kong will come back. Because that was, you know, the instance with her and Rebby Sky was the reason that she was let go in the first place. I wonder if Awesome Kong will come back. But they got a lot of new women in the division. MJ Jenkins and Laurel Van Ness and Sienna, who is Allison Kay. On the indies, and there was another girl that they just brought back, Santana Garrett. They brought Santana Garrett back. So it's the Knockouts division is kind of like the main roster as well. You know, with the men's division, it's this interesting mix. That's a great word. That's a great word because, you know, you got people you recognize, you got some young up-and-comers, but unless they're booked well, it doesn't really matter who's in the divisions because you're not building a story to make us care.
They're just throwing all sorts of stuff. Like they brought in Bruce Pritchard because, you know, he has a popular podcast. So they're hoping that he brings, some of the listeners over to watch TNA. But
I'm going to help TNA out right now, Brother D'Amato. If they're in the business of bringing popular podcasters in as authority
figures,
you're available. I am throwing my hat in the ring. I can come out and you can book me. Let's see, Josh Matthews and JB are in a feud. You can book me in a feud with Bruce Matthews. It'd be Brother Nate versus Brother Love.
Now that I would pay to see.
That's a main event angle.
Yeah.
But I guess if you look at the calendar, John, the only pay-per-view, quote-unquote, event that they have scheduled is Slammiversary, and that's not for a few more months. So
Didn't they tape a one-night only?
They did a one-night only with the Knockouts, and I think they recorded another one.
Okay.
But I don't know anybody that – like, I'm a TNA fan and an Impact Wrestling fan, and I've only bought one-night only. Like, I don't know anybody that buys them.
And you're as diehard as they come.
TNA and Impact, they really burned out their pay-per-view audience a few years ago, man. Like I think you can maybe go all the way back to 2010, 2011, you know, in the midst of when Hogan and Bischoff came back. Ever since then, that pay-per-view market's been tapped.
Yeah. Nate, I'm just a casual fan, but as a hardcore TNA fan, how do you feel that the Hardys, they built up this empire with the Final Deletion, and they built it up in TNA, and TNA couldn't find a way to keep them? I mean, how do you feel? How did you feel when you saw the Hardys debut at WrestleMania? I mean, with something, you know, with juice based on what they did on Thursday nights.
It was kind of bittersweet because if you look at not just the Hardys, man, if you look at the main roster in the WWE right now, you got a lot of former TNA people. Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Eric Young. Like, there's a ton of TNA talent that is now working for the WWE. So on the one hand, you know, I was happy for Matt and Jeff that they, you know, had a chance to go back. But it does think if you're a fan of Impact Wrestling, because, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't come to an agreement with the Hardys, and they got, you know, tight with the money with the Hardys, or they got tight with the creative control with the Hardys. But for whatever reason, you know, this marriage that it seemed to be working out really well just fell apart, because as good as the Hardys have been during the whole broken angle, I think it kind of took a place like TNA that was willing to throw stuff at the wall, like you said, to give them a chance to kind of be crazy and tell these wild stories. And so I thought it was a good fit for both Matt Hardy and TNA. And unfortunately, because of some political stuff, it didn't last, and it didn't, I think there was still a lot of stories to be told with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and TNA that were left on the table.
It's just amazing. TNA has taken a lot of abuse, and people say, oh, I don't watch that crap. But everywhere I go, I'll go to an ROH show, an indie show, a WWE show. And what does everybody chant? Delete, mm-hmm. You know, stuff that got over on Impact. And it boggles the mind that they couldn't make it happen. And you know, they couldn't keep that momentum going. With what the Hardys brought him.
You know, you talk about you being a casual fan of Impact Wrestling. Have any of the moves that they've made since the Hardys left, have any of the moves really gotten you intrigued enough to be like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch Impact on a weekly basis? Or is it just kind of, I'll check the spoilers, and if anything piques my interest, then I'll watch the show?
Nah, basically it's just you know, I'm gonna watch, and how hard is the forward button gonna be hit? Basically, when I see a James Storm or something that somebody I don't know what it is I could bring, like a low, you know, a low key or something.
Yeah.
You know, that'll make me tune in, but I don't know if that's gonna, you know, make a majority of it. That's not gonna really turn the needle, you know, for everybody. So.
And it feels like James Storm, like, if, for those that haven't been watching, James Storm finally kind of reverted to the old cowboy persona. And it's like, I don't know what, like, this guy's had the worst luck for any former champion I can remember, because, you know, Guy was a former champion, part of Beer Money, one of the best tag teams in recent memory. Then he got stuck in a stable called the Revolution, which was pretty terrible. And then he was in that DCC stable with Eddie Kingston and Bram, which was equally terrible. So, like, James Storm has had a rough last few years.
But the talent is there, Nate. I mean, I see Moose and Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards.
The
talent is there. They gotta organize it.
I mean, you gotta, you know, even the young guys, you know, Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. Like, the talent's there.
Right.
The talent's there. That's not a problem. It's what are they going to do from a creative standpoint? And no disrespect to Bruce Pritchard or Dutch Mantel or even Karen Jarrett, but I don't know if these are the people that are going to, you know, get the fans excited. I don't know if Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash is the feud that's going to ignite the fans' curiosity. Like, I think they've got to really look in the mirror from a creative standpoint and say, what was the one thing that worked for us last year? The Hardys. Why did it work? Because it was different. Why don't we try to do something different instead of kind of falling back into these late 90s, early 2000s TNA/WCW booking tropes? Like, I think they've got to do something different, man. If it's a risk to do something different, but at this point, what could it hurt? Because like you said, unless you're a hardcore TNA fan, you're not really watching week to week. So why not think outside the box and do something different?
And also, do you think that fans, like when they see somebody like an EC3 who's been there for like forever now, do you think fans say, oh, you know, this guy can't be much if he's never, you know, going to the big show, if he's stuck on here? So they really kind of look down, like he's never going to amount to much.
EC3's a guy that I think they kind of dropped the ball on, because he was one of those guys, John, that was like one of the few former WWE guys that was better in TNA than he ever was in a WWE. And like, he was really hot for a while, and it just felt like they kind of cooled off on him. Like, Bobby Lashley's another guy that I think has been doing maybe some of the best work of his career, but for whatever reason, he doesn't feel like as big a deal as he should. And that's not Bobby's fault, you know, and it's not EC3's fault that he's not a bigger deal. To me, that's on Impact Wrestling. That's on TNA.
Yeah, and a guy like Del Rio, people just kind of look at him as like, you know, WWE retreat. Even though he brings it in the ring, and God bless him, he looks great. You know, I mean, you got to give him credit for, you know, for the shape he's in. But I don't think he's going to move the needle like we keep saying.
And there's a lot of guys like Cody Rhodes. Whenever Cody shows up, like, he's working really hard. But I don't think that it, at the end of the day, because TNA has this stigma on it, which is part of the reason I think they're trying to phase out that TNA name. Like, they've had a stigma. Plus, I don't know how many people get Pop TV. So it's like you got a brand that's been diminished on a channel that nobody watches. So it's not a good recipe for ratings.
Damn. You should drop the mic on that one, man.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what is a good recipe for ratings? Pete Schermacher.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to come back on the other side talking to Pete, who is going to get us caught up on all things independent wrestling. So don't you go anywhere, stick and stay. We'll be back with more Clotheslines and Headlines right after the break. And when you smile for the camera, I know I love you better.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog, of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. There's only two types of people in the world. The ones that entertain and the ones that observe. Well, baby, I put on a show kind of girl. Don't like the back seat, gotta be first. I'm like the ringleader, I call the shots. I'm like a firecracker, I make it hot. When I put on a show,
welcome back to Place to Be Nation's Clotheslines and Headlines. Getting ready for our final segment. We talked some craziness in the last segment, Impact Wrestling. Anytime you bring up Impact Wrestling, it's almost like a circus. But not the good circus like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, you know, with Gunther Gable Williams, who used to be my favorite circus performer of all time, John. Like, he was the Michael Jordan of Lion Tamers.
What about Siegfried and Roy?
I mean, he was better than Siegfried and Roy because he never got attacked by his own lion and tiger. Like, that should be the measuring stick on how great you are as an animal trainer. Like, how many times did your animal attack you?
Was that Siegfried or Roy was the one that got his head eaten?
I think Roy was the one that got attacked, but... We can let the listeners fact check us on that. But yeah, Gunther Gable Williams, greatest of all time when it comes to the circus. But as we alluded to at the end of the last segment, we are going to bring you the greatest of all time when it comes to talking about independent wrestling. He is the emperor of the indies. He's a friend of the program, part of the Place to Be Nation family. Welcome back to the show, Pete Schermacher. Pete, how you doing this week, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Doing good.
Good.
Me and Pete went through the marathon that was known as WrestleMania. We survived together.
I'll say, and you lived to tell a tale.
Yes.
Barely.
Stays in the vault.
Yes. Tighter than Vegas.
No worries.
What happens in Mania stays in Mania.
Yeah, what happens in Orlando stays in Orlando, right?
Exactly.
Oh, well, Pete, we were talking about, you know, the actual circus a little while ago, and we're not here to talk about that, man, as fascinating as our Siegfried and Roy discussion is, but we are here to talk about Russell Circus, and for the listeners out there that might have been looking forward to the coverage of this, we had to bring you on to talk about not only Russell Circus, but also other happenings around the world of professional wrestling. So, Pete, I guess you can kick us off and just kind of walk us through your thoughts on Russell Circus.
Okay, man. I've Russell Circus on Sunday, they're having an iPay-per-view. It's, I believe it's at 7 or 8 o'clock at night the iPay-per-view starts. They're a local promotion in Austin. I think they've run 5 or 6 shows. They are actually at Mania. They did a show in Mania called they did After Mania, which was ridiculous doing it after this thing, and they had a pretty good show. I've been to all the shows. The last show I went to that they promoted by themselves, I thought it was a miss. I thought the booking was all over the place. It was just a general mess by overbooking stuff. But all the other shows, I'd easily give thumbs up. So I want to see how they bounce back. But it looks like a really fun show. I mean, it looks like at first they have Jordan Lennox, who was actually the promoter's brother, who's I think he's just been starting out. Pretty solid worker. And he's going against the trash man, George Gaddon. He's a guy they booked originally with EC3, but then EC3, he wasn't really working out as a character at Wrestle Circus because EC3 is more of like a television character and doesn't translate well on an pay-per-view or on just an independent show because he doesn't get enough time to do skits and get the character over and just, you know, when he was your heavyweight champion, he was main eventing and it just did not translate. And so Gaddon was originally programmed with him as like a sidekick type of thing. And so now they stripped EC3 of the title. Gaddon then got involved with the unification match, but it really didn't go anywhere with Brian Cage or Michael Elgin. And then he did a run-in and got involved with Jordan Lennox. So they're kind of playing up the family ties and having problems with EC3 and George Gaddon not really being there. And they're going to have a street fight. I'm kind of curious on how they do it. It'll be their first ever hardcore match. I don't know where they're going to go. It's not a match I'm sold on, but we'll see what happens. Then we get a fun intergender match. We have ACH and Christy James, who's a local, but she just came off a tour of Stardom in Japan. She's a really good looking gal. Pretty solid worker. She's pretty green. She's a little green still, but she has a lot of high-end potential versus Colt Cabana, who everyone knows, and Delilah Doom, who was recently at the tryouts for over at the Performance Center. Girl who has a lot of personality. She gets over with the crowd. She's really people love her here in Austin, Texas. She has that Austin, Texas, keep Austin weird vibe going for her. she'll definitely have the crowd there. It'll be interesting on where the crowd splits on this because ACH is a local Austin guy. Christy's Austin, and Delilah's locally Austin, and then there's Colt the Outsider. So I'm more curious on where the crowd reaction is going to go there. Then we get this tag team triple threat, which is extra talented, which is Ricky Starks, who has a lot of charisma, really good worker, and Aaron Solo, who might be better known as Bailey's boyfriend. And they are actually a really good act, and they're a group that people haven't gotten a whole lot of exposure, but they're really, really good heel group. They play off each other well because I think in real life they're really good friends, and they have a really interesting chemistry together, and they're like one of my favorite tag teams to watch right now. They'll be wrestling. They're going against it's a triple threat match, so they're working against Monkey Flip, which is Space Monkey, who's a blast live, a good fun comedy worker who does obviously a Space Monkey gimmick, and Flip Gordon, who's a pretty talented young guy who's getting a lot of buzz right now. I can honestly say I've never seen Flip Gordon, so I'm actually really looking forward to him versus Dalton Castle's The Boys. And most people know about The Boys from just being Dalton's sidekicks, or I don't want to say eye candy because that'd be the wrong terminology. But they're actually a really good blowjob babyface tag team who the crowd gets behind. They want to succeed. They love them because they're over because of the Ring of Honor television. And they can work. People, if you guys have seen them, you go. They're on your ship. They're on a local show by you, man. I check them out. The guys, they're actually good workers, and they're really great with the fans. Then we got another match, which is Jervis Cottonbelly versus Kikitoro from Japan. It's probably going to be straight comedy, and I think those are important. Sometimes let your card breathe, and hopefully they'll do it here. Sometimes they get a little nervous when they have this match, and they also book the mixed tag. Also, it could be comedy, a little sticky. And then we also have this match coming up, which is All Ego, Ethan Page versus Candice LeRae, which again could go in that direction, but I don't see it because Ethan Page is like he goes for the old school heel vibe. He's not going out to have the best match on the show. He's trying to get the biggest reaction from the show, and I kind of respect that. It's just a wholly different vibe as from a heel in this day and age, going for straight heat and not wanting to pander to the crowd. And he doesn't do anything that you could actually call honorable. He's just a straight up heel. And then for the Saiso Championship, number one contendership, we have Dirty Andy Dalton, a second generation wrestler, versus Mr. 450 and versus Scorpio Sky. I think this has potential to have a really fun match. Scorpio Sky is a guy I like a lot. And Dirty Andy Dalton's been a I've been a big fan of his because he's again a guy who he's a heel's heel. He's kind of he plays obviously with the nerd dirty. He does like a little shtick where he'll start the match out and he has a little sweatband on his head and he'll wring it out and drink it. It's just disgusting. And he just gets heat, but it's really even like the ref one time saw, or we had a ring announcer who's never seen him work. He goes, "That's just gross." Just he was caught off guard by it. Then we get this really killer fatal four way with some big hosses: Ray Death Row from Ring of Honor and New Japan, the British Bulldog Davey Smith, Boy Smith Jr., another big hoss, Jax Dane, who's a hoss's hoss. And Moose from TNA. I'm expecting this match to be just tear it up because these guys can go. Ray Rowe is a really underrated worker. Davey Boy, he's a smooth, good worker. Jack Dane knows how to play the monster. And Moose is about as athletic of a big man around as you can get. I'm expecting good things from that match. Then we get Rachel Ellering, who the Austin crowd has taken up and almost have made her like the most over babyface in the company. They absolutely love her. The first time I saw her wrestle live, I fell in love with her. She has this charm about her that's genuine. She works a strong style where like she'll square off and kick you straight in the teeth and it looks like it hurts and it looks like you should be checking for your teeth. And she's working Taya Valkyrie from Lucha Underground. And these both girls are Lance Storm trained along with Aaron Solo. And actually they're flying out. Lance Storm is going to be at the show to watch three of his people there. So I know that's pretty cool. They don't usually do that type of thing, but it's going to be good. I'm expecting this match to be a pretty darn good women's match. And then we have Matt Sydal versus Sammy Guevara, Guevara is a guy who a bunch of us over here at the Pro Wrestling Only and Place to Be Nation have been pimping for a while now. And I'm expecting these two to tear it up. Guevara, every time he goes out, he wants to steal the show and have the best match on the show. It's something he kind of has that chip on his shoulder where he wants to be the guy who steals the show and has the best match. And I mean, smart money is this might be the best match on the show. I don't know. There's a lot of talent on here, so but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going all in on that one, though, as the best match. And then we have this really hot six-man tag, which Sammy Callahan, one of the best live performers I've seen. He has this, like, ruggedness. All his stuff looks like it hurts. He does these spit spots that are just disgusting. And he actually, I mean, I was in Orlando, and I was at the Beyond show. And, I mean, I had to duck a couple of times because these loogies went flying over my head. And he wasn't even aiming at me. And he's teaming up with Dave Crist and Jake Crist. And they're working Shane Strickland, who honestly is having one of the most under-the-radar – I won't even say underneath-the-radar years, but he's having one of the better years in wrestling right now because he's been – there. He seems like he's – finally, all his stuff is finally making sense. And I think this is the best year he's ever had. And he's been doing these exciting tag matches, six-mans. He's had some really good singles too. And he's really got a kind of really standing out this year as one of the better high flyers. He's teaming up with Leo Rush, who, I mean, he was fantastic in Ring of Honor. They've separated. He's now working Evolve. He had a great Evolve weekend. He had good matches over Mania weekend. He has a lot of buzz going about him. He's like the people compare him to Low Key and the Amazing Red. And they even think that he'd be like a Rey Mysterio type player. He's only been wrestling for 2 or 3 years, so he even has more of an upside. He's a little short. I think he has a little chip on his shoulder for being short. And he wants something to prove that he can play with the big boys. And he's been tearing it up he's usually having one of the best 2 or 3 matches on every show I see. And then their third partner is Desmond Xavier. And him, Shane Strickland, and Phoenix earlier in the year had an incredible three-way, like a 4 1/4 star, a three-way, just high spot fest. Incredible match. One of the better matches I've seen live. And I was so stoked. I mean, I marked out so bad for it. I ended up buying Ray Phoenix's mask off his head at the show because I wanted something for that match. The main event is Brian Cage. And you know what? It's actually pretty smart to put to have Brian Cage as your champion because he has a big internet name. He's off the TV, off Lucha Underground. You know he's full of steroids, so the WWE is probably not going to touch him because there's no way he'd pass a wellness test. So it actually makes smart to have him actually represent your champion, be your champion of your company, especially a startup company that's only like 6 or 7 shows deep. And then he's wrestling John Morrison. And these guys have wrestled before, so I'm expecting them to have a pretty good match, not a blowaway match, but a really good match. And that's Wrestle Circus. They're usually it's going to be over here on 800 Congress Avenue, right down on the heart of 6th Street, really. A really nice location. The crowd there has been so receptive. The only time they really weren't super receptive was the one they had for South by Southwest because they had it at Emo's, which is a different building. But, I mean, they still put, like, probably about 2,000 people in that building. Here, they're probably going to have 500-600 people, jam-packed to the rafters, super hot crowd. I really hope they get their audio right on the iPay-per-view because the last few iPay-per-views, they've kind of drowned out the crowd by having the announcers too loud. Have you guys ever seen those type of things when shows do that where the announcing – They turn up the announcers too much. They kind of dried out the crowd, and it kind of hurts the heat of the show when you're hearing the announcers, man. It's about wrestlers. We want to hear the reactions and stuff, and you're hurting your making your product not seem as hot. I've been in the building, the wrestlers, I've all been tweeting about how they love working for Wrestle Circus, and they don't get to see it translate as much. Because on the iPay-per-views, because they have the audio mixed a little wrong, so I hope they have it fixed right. but it should be a really fun card. I'm not sure if they've sold out yet, but if they're not, they're probably close to it. I've had really good relationships with the people from Wrestle Circus, and they really put on a good show. There's been some blowback on them online, but you know what? Just like all wrestling companies, it happens because there's nothing that's universally praised or universally panned. It's via the segment you guys just did on TNA. Not everyone loves TNA, but there's still fans who do. Yeah. It's just like everything, you know. Oh, man. But that's Wrestle Circus, guys. And I happened to catch the Evolve 82 and 83 show last weekend on Friday. I think it was Saturday and Sunday, or it was Friday and Saturday. No, Saturday and Sunday. Evolve 82 was a good show. I thought the best match on the card was Keith Lee versus Kyle O'Reilly. And this was Kyle O'Reilly's first shots in the company since 8 or 9 years. It actually added a shot in the arm to have him. And him and Keith Lee had a really good match. And then on Evolve 83, him and Freddie Yehi just tore it up. It was just a mat wrestling classic and a 4.25-star match. 4.25, maybe 4.5 star match on Evolve 83. And then Keith Lee and David Starr had a really good match on Evolve 83. Definitely of the two shows, Evolve 83 is the show to definitely check out. You had a really good Zack Sabre Jr., Leo Rush, 4-star match. Zack Sabre defending the title. Matt Riddle and Drew Galloway in his last indie appearance. I had an I Quit match, which didn't really live up to the expectations that I was expecting. They did a couple things that I was like kind of eyeball rolling, just spots that said they set up this, took too much to set up, and the payoff just wasn't there. But definitely check out Evolve. I'd go out of your way to see Evolve 83 because the last four matches were, I think, all in the 3.5 to 4.5 star range and stuff. And the other thing I came on to talk about is the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum.
Real quick, Pete, before we touch on the Hall of Fame, I had a couple things to touch on. First, when you talk about Keith Lee, like, he's somebody that I always hear a lot of positive buzz about, and I've seen a couple of his matches, and I like his work. And you know, I'm not normally the biggest fan of Haas's, but I have been very impressed by this dude. In terms of, you know, indie wrestlers out there, guys that, you know, maybe that next big thing, quote unquote, where do you see Keith Lee in kind of that next crop of guys that have the potential to be stars?
He has a huge upside. They've only scratched the surface in Evolve. I've seen the guy wrestle for years now because he's a Texas local guy. He played football at Texas A&M. He was an offensive lineman. Obviously, I mean, look at the guy. The guy's huge. He has a ton of personality. He connects to the crowd. They've just let him start cutting promos here, but I've seen him cut some like money promos, like serious money promos. You put the guy in a suit, he looks like $1 million, looks like someone special. He's a guy who, honestly, he could easily be in one of the top three matches in WrestleMania in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's how quick his upside is. Because he's big, and I mean, he's athletic, and actually some of the things he really should do is like he should tone it down a little bit and save it for big like WrestleMania moments type things, like doing a moonsault or a big dive to the floor. But I think the one thing that's missing right now from him is he needs to get and Chris Hero cut a promo at one of the Evolve shows on his way out towards Zack Sabre, and it was aimed at Keith Lee a little bit, which was to get a killer instinct. And that's what Keith needs to do, is not be afraid to really throw a nasty punch or, you know, be the big man that he is. I mean, he's a big hoss, and his upside, I really think, is incredible. And now that he's getting to work with high-end super workers or also some of the top-tier workers, he's standing out, and he's not missing a beat. He's that triple threat guy where he's big, can cut a promo, looks good, and he charisma, and he can also, I mean, I've seen the guy work at a Wrestle Circus show, him and Donovan Dijak, they were doing Ray and Juventud Guerrera lucha spots with one another. I mean, it's just insane. Wow. Do they need to be doing that? Probably not, but it's still pretty neat to see live, I'll tell you that. And these big hosses doing dives to the floor, and they're working like they're 220 pounds, and it's special when you're 280, 290-pound Keith Lee, who I think has he checks off all the tools. The only thing negative against him, he's probably a little old right now, where they're finally he's finally getting his break now, and it's just a shame that the age thing might be a thing that brings him down, because people don't realize that he's been around, and he's older than a lot. I mean, I think he's I want to say he's like 34 right now, which is pretty old for an indie guy. I might be wrong on the age though.
You would hope that the talent would supersede that, but yeah, this in a business like this, man, you never know. But the other thing I wanted to ask you real quick before we got to the Hall of Fame, Pete, is when you talk about booking on the independents and how it's different than booking for TV per se. You know, what do you think makes for a well booked indie show?
To me, make the crowd happy when they're leaving. So, I mean, yeah, I think you really want to put over your baby face and hopefully you have a baby face champion. But, I mean, that's not a necessity. But you know what? Keep the finishes simple. Make them clean. And if you're going to do a run-in or do it or keep it like at one minimum, one a show. I've been at shows like where I've got like the last example was the Wrestle Circus show that was complaining about the booking. We had four screw job. There was 10 matches. We got four screw job finishes in the first six matches. And then, I mean, then the semi-main event, they were doing, obviously they had Aleva Bates, who does a cosplay thing. So we knew she was going to come out and interfere in that match also. And you know what? If you're going to have her do that in the semi-main, you should definitely be protecting it underneath by going with clean finishes and make the one interference mean something. When you have it happen to four different times, it loses its luster and then you just start pissing your fans off because doesn't make anything you're doing important. And like I'm a firm believer in less is more a lot of times. And most of the time on an indie show, unless you're building, if you're not building to something, you should always be building to something. And if you have a finish and it's because talent doesn't want to do that finish, then you shouldn't be booking them. Why you're paying them the money to work on your promotion? They should be accommodating and stuff like that. And on that last show, there's a lot of like why did you do this? Or they're trying to do stuff to protect people, and that's the problem. I mean, people win and lose all the time. You don't need protection constantly. I think giving people clean basic finishes work. You don't need run-ins. You don't need this and that. So you don't need the bells and whistles. You should make that important on when you do it, make it mean something.
I agree. And I think if you do all of those things, Pete, and you do it consistently for a long period of time, you might end up in the Hall of Fame. And that is the other thing we had to have you on to talk about tonight, Pete. So without any further ado, give us your thoughts on the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's really neat. Something I've been wanting to get down there because it's only the only brick and mortar Hall of Fame in wrestling right now, and it's located in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is it's going to be a 9-hour drive for me. And so it's like one of those things where, man, if I'm going to do it, I can't go there and go back because that's a whole day type of thing. And I noticed they were doing in May 18th, 19th, 20th, they're doing their actual Hall of Fame induction. And so I'm like, you know what, I can do a 3-dayer. So I booked my hotel. I'm going to drive out there on the 18th, and they're going to do on the 18th, there's going to be a comedy show, Q&A with some of the wrestlers like the Grappler, Len Denton, Tiger Conway Jr., Stan Hansen, and a couple others. And then on Friday, there's going to be an independent wrestling show out there. So I'm going to do that. I plan on also going to the museum, obviously. And then on the 20th, they're having a convention. And then that evening, they're actually having the Hall of Fame banquet where you buy your ticket, you get a dinner, and you get to see the inductions and all the speeches. And then this year, you have – let's see who's going in. They have going into the Pioneer category is Yvonne Robert and Dirty Dick Reigns. Obviously, these guys have passed away. Then in the early television division category, we have Sputnik Monroe, big mainstay in Memphis, Luther Lindsay, big time player in the Carolinas back pre Ric Flair era stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then going in on the modern era categories, Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels. Mick Foley is going to be there. Ladies and colleague divisions is Susan Green and George Napolitano. Both of them are going to be there. For the international and tag team divisions, you have Tatsumi Fujinami. He's going to be there. We have Larry Hennig. Yeah, Larry Hennig and Harley Race are going in as their tag team back in the day. And Harley is not going to be there because of his. You know, we've heard about all his past issues traveling, but Larry Hennig is going to be out there. And then a host of others from previous inductions have been going to be out there, like Stan Hansen, Davey O'Hannon, Gorgeous Gary Young, Ross Hart, Tiger Conway Jr., James Beard, Terry Funk, the grappler Len Dunnan, Blue Angel, Beverly the Hammer, Shade, Diane Von Hoffman, Killer Tim Brooks, and Lord Zoltan, Ken Jurgen, and of course, Cowboy Johnny Mantell, I'm sure will be out there since he is the guy who runs the museum. But that's the main thing I'm really excited about, is checking out all the memorabilia. Because everyone who knows me, or at least knows a smidgen of me, knows me, that is old school wrestling's my jam. That's what I'm really passionate about and I love. So I'm really dying to see what they have out there. And I'm going to take plenty of pictures. I'm really looking excited. I'm really excited about this museum. It's only like $3 to go in and look at all this stuff. It's all a nonprofit organization, and you know, and anything I can do to help these guys. To me, I think it's important because wrestling history is not something until recently with the WWE, and a lot of that is also the WWE's vision of what wrestling is. And for them, it's sports entertainment, which is cool. But I think this is also gives you another option, an alternative. And I think it's important that it's not just one person documenting history, because we all know if you're the winner, that's usually how the history is going to go down in the history books. It's the person who won it, not the person who didn't win it or what have you. It's the person who ends up on top usually dictates how it happens in history. And I think it's important that to listen and check out all different aspects of it. So it's different than the WWE Hall of Fame, obviously. Here at the dinner, it's going to be a barbecue rib dinner at the WWE Hall of Fame inductions. I'm sure it's a hot dog and a beer or whatever. They're not giving you, this is a sit down formal dinner. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be neat and just something. Yeah, it's something I've been wanting to do, and I think this gave me a reason to go do it.
And I really like how they've got the inductees kind of broken up by era, because so often, we forget people like Sputnik Monroe or guys and girls that we can only see in the grainy black and white footage. But, they had a hand in building this crazy thing that we all watch and love.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Nate.
And if you want more information, if you want to maybe join Pete and go down to the ceremony, you can go to pwhf.org, pwhf.org for more info on the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Again, the only brick and mortar Hall of Fame and museum for pro wrestling. That sounds really cool. Like, I think if I had the time to head out there, that would be an enjoyable little vacation to go check that out.
Yeah, exactly. The way I recently, not recently, but maybe about 6-8 months ago, heard Johnny Mantell on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, and Stone Cold wants to get down there. So if Stone Cold wants to check it out, and we all know he's like a nerd like us when it comes to watching wrestling. And so if Stone Cold wants to get down there, I mean, heck, I need to get down there.
And if you see him out there, go ahead and pick up an extra bottle to a testosterone pills for me and John.
Exactly, for the working man.
unless you got anything else to drop on the people this week, Pete, I think we're gonna call it a show.
Sounds great, man. Just here, let me hit a plug real quick. Just follow me on Indies and This Week in Wrestling, Indies and International. Also, Space City and NWA On Demand podcast, where I do talk more old school. And I like to do like that. I mean, because I think wrestling is important on all fronts. And any type of wrestling people enjoy, I think it's important. And sometimes I think people bog down too much on the negativities of stuff and don't focus on stuff they really love. So I spread the gospel a little bit on both things I like. Right now I love indie wrestling, and I love watching old Houston wrestling. It's actually a pastime, and I consider myself partly a Texas wrestling history guy. And so I'm really looking forward to the Hall of Fame, and it ties into one of my podcasts. So check those out and follow me on Twitter at Titans O Wrestling.
Very cool. And if you're going to be a historian in the world of pro wrestling, you probably can't pick a better location than Texas. So all the rich history there.
Agreed.
So that is the encyclopedia of the indies, Pete Schirmacher, the one and only, who's stopping by on Clotheslines and Headlines this week. Brother John, before we get out of here, you got anything you want to plug?
No, sir. Old school is cool, man. Just have a great time, Pete. Have a great time, man. Represent.
Well, that is, of course, the one and only John Arsenio D'Amato, who was my mystery tag team partner this week. He played the role of Finn Balor when Enzo Amore, a.k.a. JR and Steve Willie, got beat up. And I needed somebody to help me out this week. John stepped up, so it's been fun doing the show with you this week, brother. And who knows, maybe you'll be called on again next time we have Clotheslines and Headlines.
I'll probably be available, so no worries.
Unless you get caught up in a House of Horrors somewhere.
House of Who is? Thanks a lot, Nate. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week on Placement Nation's Clotheslines and Headlines. Again, head over to placementnation.com to check out all of our shows and articles and whatever else we've got popping off over there, because it is guaranteed to be a good time. Once again, want to send a shout out to Pete Schirmacher for joining us, as well as John Arsenio D'Amato. And I guess that means we can close up shop, because I've got to begin opening my wing of the Nia Jax Hall of Fame. We'll be having that ceremony. We'll be having that ceremony here very shortly once I can get the rights and the licenses and the memorabilia and all that good stuff. And I'll let you know when the Nia Jax Hall of Fame opens. But until then, we're going to call it a week here on Clotheslines and Headlines. Thanks again for listening and downloading. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with our thoughts on the crazy world of professional wrestling and whatever else pops into our heads. So for Pete Schirmacher, J.R. Arsenio D'Amato, and Steve Willie, and J.R., wherever they are, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And we'll see you next week, in 2 weeks. Time and space thing is it's confusing. Numbers are hard. I'm not a math genius like Scott Steiner. We'll see you in 2 weeks for another episode of Placement Nation's Clotheslines and Headlines.
Holla!
Not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make